KGNU's coverage.
Hi, this is Claudia. I'm down in the Sheraton Hotel with two very young ladies who are here for the evening. We just saw that Obama has now taken Colorado. What's your name?
Maya Carter, 13.
And why are you here tonight?
Because Barack Obama rules.
So what does that make you feel like?
Barack Obama being such an influential person for Colorado, it shows that he can change America, because Colorado has been either a Republican or a toss-up state for so long. He's influenced Colorado to change them to a Democratic state.
Tim Carell covers statewide Republicans in South Denver.
The scene is a very large ballroom that was, until a few moments ago, quite packed. John McCain has been speaking, giving his very gracious concession speech. The audience was crestfallen and is heading for the exits.
Maeve Conran asked Green Party Senate candidate Bob Kinsey about Democrat Mark Udall's victory over him and Republican Bob Schaefer.
What's your reaction to Mark Udall winning the Senate seat?
It's not a surprise. I think it's probably better to have Mark Udall than Bob Schaefer, although they, in many ways, actually supported very similar policies. A fairly substantial portion of the population, even at the risk of getting Schaefer instead of Udall, voted for me because they had to vote for those alternative policies rather than the policies that Udall failed to represent.
For KGNU, I'm Joel Edelstein.
After passing the Civil Rights Act in 1964, President Lyndon Johnson said the Democrats lost the South for a generation. Barack Obama may have helped change the tide in Virginia and North Carolina, yet Mississippi Democrats are still working the grassroots.
Cindy Ayers, Jackson, Mississippi, reporting from Greenville, Mississippi, the heart of the Mississippi Delta. Well, there's a lot of excitement here. The polls have closed, but however, because we're so rural, a lot of reports haven't come in. We're holding our own. We're trying to turn this red state blue. We don't know if we'll get the blue state, but we're definitely fighting for a U.S. Senate seat. I think what this is going to do is to have us having more local officials running, more African Americans running in this state, and hopefully we'll be looking at a statewide person of color for the state of Mississippi. Right now, the only official that we have that's considered statewide is our only one sitting congressman, Congressman Benny Thompson. By the way, he's already been declared the winner here in Mississippi for the second congressional Congress seat here, our own incumbent, which we're very proud of. But for Mississippi overall, we might be even seeing another U.S. congressman real soon. I pulled the lever for Barack Obama and also got out and worked streets and had everybody else to pull the lever that we could to get out to pull the lever for Obama. It was the most breathtaking moment, I think, of my life. When my grandparents would tell me how it felt to stand on the Mall to hear Dr. Martin Luther King give his speech, I couldn't recognize that feeling until I was able to feel that at the convention itself when he said, "I accept your nomination for President of the United States." That same feeling is what I had when I pulled the lever, is that this will be the next President of the United States of America. It is truly a change in this world, and here we are. So, without a doubt, I thought I could do anything before, but now I know for sure.
Bobby Person, Vice President of Voices for Justice, a grassroots organization here in Moore County, North Carolina, close to Pinehurst. I didn't think I would ever see an African-American get this close to being President of the United States. I come up in the 60s and segregation, and I just didn't think it was ever possible to get this to happen within my lifetime. And I'm glad I was able to get out and vote so I could tell my grandchildren that I did vote for an African-American that was running for president. I came up when we had segregated schools.
And coming up next on Free Radio Santa Cruz, a few minutes late, it's Bathrob Spears Broadsides. Stay tuned.
Ride, ride, keep on moving fast. Sheriff's on.
Welcome to Free Radio Santa Cruz. If you just tuned in, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. The two songs you just heard were Ride, Ride, Ride and Lonely Boy and Pretty Girl, both by the Smoothies. Bet you don't know who they are. They're actually a group from 1960 where John Phillips was one of the singers. That's John Phillips of the Mamas and the Papas for all you ancient song archivists. That's kind of a tip of the hat to Uncle Dennis and his 8 o'clock show, which will be coming up, From the Cream to the Dregs, where he reviews and goes back to the old music of the 60s and 70s. I'm going to do a little of that myself. I'm going to be playing some of this stuff from the Big Three, the Smoothies, the Halifax Three, the New Journeymen, the Mugwumps, and the Mamas and the Papas. Elliot, Doherty, Phillips, and Phillips. Cass Elliot, Denny Doherty, John Phillips, and Michelle Phillips. Why? Oh, primarily because I'm a fan of the Mamas and the Papas. Secondarily, because I know there are people out there who are also fans. And shameless appeal to those folks. Or, well, they know who they are, and they'd better appreciate it. Anyway, it is Free Radio you're listening to. We're going to be here for 2 hours, or at least I am. Hopefully you'll be here for some of it. You can actually be in the studio or your voice can at 427-3772. And I do want to apologize to listeners on Sunday morning when the show, a longer version of it, airs from 9:30 to 1. For the last 2 hours, one of the lines was being ignored because it was turned on to the busy signal, which I should have seen. The other one, I think, just it was defective. So if you do want to call in, like the caller that just called but then stopped talking, or stopped ringing, I should say, please do. 427-3772 is the call-in number in case you want to get in touch. And I will put you on the air and we can chat about what you'd like to chat about. Again, my focus on this show is civil rights for poor people, police misconduct, political shenanigans, and I guess some commentary on the national or international war criminal scene abroad. Well, let's see if we can actually get this person on the air. Hi, hopefully you, well, I guess not. We thought you were on Free Radio, but you weren't. You know, if you want to talk to me off air, the best thing to do is to leave a message on the Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom voicemail. And that's 423-HUFF, 423-4833. So you want to do that, or you can wait till a point in the show when I'm playing something that's previously taped. But even then, I'm kind of monitoring and taking notes, so I don't have a lot of time to chat unless you want to talk on the air, in which case we all get to hear you, and you know, it becomes a part of the dialogue with the community, which is, of course, the whole point of this show. So again, 427-3772 is the number to call. If you have a public service announcement or want to make a donation, and we apparently are still a dozen or so monthly donors short, the collective is looking for people to, you know, kick in a little bit each month as kind of a sustaining membership, $5, $10, $1,000, whatever you got, 10 cents, I don't know, not quite sure how low they go. You can do that by going to our website, freakradio.org, all one word, all small letters, Freak Radio. Or you can give a call to the message line, 427-4523, 427-4523. Or you can mail us a check at FRSC Post Office Box 7507, Santa Cruz 95061. Post Office Box 7507, Santa Cruz 95061. And if you miss any numbers during the show, as I always say, call the Huff line, ask me what you missed, and I'll give it to you. Ask them what you want to know, and I will try to fill in the info. And the Huff line again is 423-HUFF, 423-4833. So again, call a number here if you want to reach me on the air, and that's, of course, the main number that I'm going to be bringing to your attention because I think that's the one that, well, we actually get to hear you. 427-3772 is the number to call. So I'm going to begin with an interview with Hutch. Hutch came to the Huff meeting. Huff meets every Wednesday. We're thinking of trying to move our meeting from the basement of the county building, from the American Cafe, which I think is changing hands. Maybe it's going to become the Scandinavian Cafe or the Venezuelan Cafe or the, I don't know, McCain's Bar and Grill or something. But we're thinking we're trying to get into the new info shop, which does allow apparently groups to meet at some points. I haven't talked to them yet, but I've heard we've made some contacts with them. And that's something that's opened up. It's called Sub Rosa, and it's near the Bike Church on Pacific Avenue. And I recommend people do take a look at it. I'm going to think there's a mention of it on IndieBay.org, Santa Cruz Indie Media, in case you have access to a computer. And I'm going there right now, although apparently having a little trouble connecting with an appropriate thingamabob. Yeah, having some problems. Okay, well, I think we're okay. Let's see if we can find indiebay.org. I'll give you some more information. You probably have heard about it already if you're a regular listener to Free Radio, and if you're not, you can get this information, as mentioned, by going to Santa Cruz Indie Media for the kind of, there's an announcement of its coming into being. I think it just opened up on the 1st. So let's see if we can find it here. Indie Media is www.indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. And it gives you some breaking stories, including my tragic tale of a person who witnessed me being ticketed for standing and talking at the Metro bus stop on Sunday. And I actually have some tape I'm going to be playing about that later in the show. It's kind of an interesting story. I'm going to be facing a court citation. I am facing a citation. I was arrested in the sense that I was held by the police officer who demanded I sign a ticket for trespass, for refusal to leave a business when asked. But the only problem with a ticket from the point of view of the authorities is that I wasn't in a business. I was standing 4 feet from the sidewalk on the Metro property, which is hardly a business. It's a public facility and has special laws that govern it. I checked those ordinances later online and talked to several attorneys. And what it looks like the police are doing is what they tend to do elsewhere in town, which is demand people simply do what they say, and if they don't, they sort of cook up a law that they then ticket the person under, which may or may not be applicable. And mostly it's the threat of the ticket that serves to drive away the person. I didn't get driven away because I was pretty sure of my rights, but I ultimately did get driven away because I left the property rather than be taken to jail or given a second citation because I would have to spend my time in jail over the weekend. And that, you know, that can be the rub in some circumstances. We don't want to spend our time in jail, but unless we are willing to do that at some point, the police will always be able to scare us away with bogus threats. And sometimes when you do choose to be arrested by the police, it becomes profitable. So in 2002, when I was arrested for tabling outside the New Leaf Market against the fenced-off area that was set up between the two kiosks to drive away young people and people who were hanging out there that the authorities didn't like, and to privatize a large portion of the sidewalk. And I was arrested in essentially a conspiracy, forgive me for putting it that way, but that's really how I viewed it, and that's how we presented it in court. By Sergeant Lauren Butchie Baker, a number of other police officials, and the owner of Sushi Now, Matisse Selman, who wanted to punish me for petitioning the community to boycott his business, the other business, which at the time was Alibaba's Cafe and New Leaf Market, who were colluding in the secret process, which was essentially setting up a railing and fencing off the area. It wasn't entirely secret. It went to one city council meeting, and it was zipped by very quickly, so it wasn't secret, but it certainly was on the fast track, and there wasn't anything in the way of any meaningful public input or process or alternatives discussed. I mean, I proposed and continue to propose that if people have problems with people gathering outside their store or on the public sidewalk, that rather than getting the thugs who are supposedly Santa Cruz police officers, and I believe that when officers act as private security guards for the merchants simply to enforce their prejudices, they are in fact becoming thugs. And I don't try to say that simply to dismiss all police officers as thugs or just to malign the police department out of hand. But I think that when that kind of thing happens, you have to call a spade, a thug, a thug. Anyway, rather than turn this situation over to thugs, I suggest that when businesses have problems, that they, you know, they talk to the people involved, that they contact organizations like HUF, like Human Rights Organization, like, I don't know, Barrios Unidos, like other groups that might actually have, you know, some connections with people on the street, SAFE, Society for Artistic Freedom and Expression, Street Performers Against Foolish Enforcement, I don't know, People Power, people on bikes who, you know, are involved or maybe parking their bikes nearby or at the bike church nearby. And instead of, you know, simply calling in hired guys and gals with guns and uniforms to drive away people they don't like, or to remove the benches so people can't sit there, or to set up a machine that makes it illegal to sit on the sidewalk because that's what Neil Coonerty's and Mike Rodkin's downtown ordinances do. They say that you can't sit within 50 feet of a change-making machine, even though they've removed all the benches and the only place to sit is on the ground if you want to sit down for most places along the mall. Anyway, I've seen alternatives to that, and I actually played some alternatives. One alternative happened recently, a Bam Bam. There are several Bam Bams, but this is a Bam Bam that is sort of an old-timer, and he's often at the drum circle. He was expelled from the coffee roasting company last week for spitting on the sidewalk, and you heard me play the interchange he had with the manager. And the manager, I don't know if it was terribly appropriate because the weather was kind of wet, and it was, you know, I want to be really clear about this. There were other people who got tickets in the rain that day for spitting or a day or two before. But in any case, he got a ticket for spitting. He apologized, and I'm kind of sympathetic to people who are being run out of businesses with very little cause. I mean, I think he said, well, can I come back? And he said, you can come back and talk about it. He said he apologized. He wouldn't do it again. He committed himself to that. But she said you couldn't go back for a couple of weeks, which seems to me pretty severe. On the other hand, I propose that if there's an issue around restaurants where a person who's a manager doesn't want a person inside to be there, that they have a process by which the person can appeal what they're saying and can come back after a period of time. And this was sort of in line with that line of thinking, although, as I said, it seems a little arbitrary and a little severe. that this can happen this way, and pretty much the laws are slanted in favor of the merchants, who police will almost invariably take complaints from, even bogus complaints, like those given out by the Lulu Carpenter's owner, Manthri Srinath, who attempted to harass and did ticket falsely with a false police report a homeless man sitting on the sidewalk with his bunny and a sign, I don't know, we'll trade electronic work for money, some such thing. And I actually covered this in some detail. If you want to catch some of these controversies, you can go to the Huff Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom website, huffsantacruz.org. Except merchants get pretty respectful treatment, I think, from the police compared with people on the street who say want to file a counter complaint. But, you know, partially that's because we're not very well organized, and partially because we all attempt to take care of our problems in an isolated way without getting together. I mean, some people may not like Huff. Don't come to Huff. Form your own organization. Do your own stuff. But get together with other people who have had similar problems so that police can't just walk up to you and say, oh, you know, this old geezer at the top of, you know, the Palomar Apartments didn't like your singing two blocks away, so you're going to have to move or shut up or shut down, when in fact that is completely irrelevant between the hours of 8 in the morning and 10 in the evening, according to the very wording of the law that the police officer is supposedly enforcing. Will the police tell you that? No, not likely. Instead, she or he will scare you away. Similarly, I was in a position where, as you're going to learn by listening to this tape, which I guess I'll turn to shortly, if I really wanted to go for the full-blown arrest, I had to spend the night in jail on a Sunday night. And I wasn't feeling terribly well. I'm still a little bit queasy right now. And so I didn't. But I did promise the people involved that at some point in the future that I might well make a return to the Metro property and point out that people have a right to be there. I'm going to play some of this. And in a way, I want to kind of point a few things out. It's, even though I play a lot of accounts of people who talk about their tickets and their what the police allege is their crime and what their story is, if you really are charged with a serious offense, such as a misdemeanor or a felony, attorneys will advise you, and not without reason, not to make statements publicly unless you're very careful about it, because the district attorney, his investigators or her investigators, and the police force can access those statements, particularly on this show, because this show is archived. So if you want to hear past shows, you can. It's archived at www.huffsantacruz.org. And Donna Dice, for example, is a woman who had her arm broken, and she was beaten or roughed up or slammed around by Sergeant Christian Lamas on May 9th, according to the testimony of her and three or four other witnesses, at least. And she spoke about this quite candidly on the radio, and I thought it was important to get the story out, and in her own words. The downside to that is that when a person is brutalized, they may make some statements that sound contradictory or that are contradictory. They may remember things a couple different ways. They may make statements that can be used to contradict their testimony in court. And there is still a charge pending against Donna Dice, which is resisting arrest. She was originally charged with all kinds of other things, battery, I believe, and possession of marijuana. Those charges mysteriously disappeared. But they kept the one charge, I think primarily to protect the police department in the city from lawsuits by Dice and her volunteer attorney, Greg Coben, against the city. And that's a real consideration when you play testimony. So I had some qualms about playing this because it does reveal, it's a straight tape of what happened. And I wasn't the calmest in the world. I didn't like being harassed by the police as I was being harassed. I'd be told to leave a public area. And it doesn't necessarily portray me as the most sympathetic, genteel, calm under all circumstances kind of guy. So I'm both my public image and possibly my defense in court is compromised, because if you go to court, you don't have to say a word. Everyone else who's prosecuting you, I should say the district attorney or the city attorney, depending on whether it's a city violation or a state penal code violation, or perhaps a county ordinance violation, has to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that you are guilty of the specific crime that you are charged with and that you meet the burden of proof there. That's a pretty strong burden of proof, and they have to prove it, if it's a misdemeanor or a felony, before a jury of 12 people have to unanimously agree. And that's why I usually advise people who have marijuana tickets, even though they can get out of them by drug diversion or by a fine, you know, or by some deal prior to the process, to demand a jury trial. Because in this county, and I don't have any stats to bring to back this up, so I may be completely wrong, but it's my hope and my belief that there's going to be at least one juror that will simply vote not guilty regardless of whether the person possesses the marijuana or not, because, or is trying to sell a small quantity of it, because the whole marijuana extortion racket that the police department and the district attorneys and the attorney generals and politicians run generally is so discredited at such a basic level, even though it goes on and even though it's still on the books and even though nobody on the city council or the Board of Supervisors is willing to challenge it publicly, I think that ordinary citizens, there will be at least one will say not guilty. And since you don't have to explain your verdict to the rest of the jurors, though they can keep asking, and say, I just think he's not guilty. I don't think there's enough evidence. What you may mean is, I don't believe in the law, but you don't have to say that. You can just say, I don't think he's guilty. Now, you might say, well, you're violating your oath to the judge that you're going to only judge the facts and whether you can add up A, B, and C to equal D, and that means that, you know, that they're guilty and they have to get a sentence. Well, the purpose of the jury is to give out justice. It's really, as I think has been said before, and I think is true, the fourth branch of our government. And it's the most accessible branch, ultimately. The only one where we, the citizenry, really have direct participatory presence. You know, we're actually there. It's kind of hard to get on the jury if you're, you know, looking like a counterculture person or if you've had any bad experiences with the police and you are honest about them, because you'll be disqualified, allegedly, for cause or just as a matter of preference by one side or the other, usually by the prosecution. In any case, I'm kind of this rambling monologue is intended to talk about the perils of giving a straight story on the radio. The upside of giving the straight story is that you get the community aware of what's going on earlier. And I think that has some real advantages too. And that's why I do encourage people to do it, but I also point out that there's a risk involved. That, you know, you may be taken to, your words may be taken down by the police and then, you know, thrown back at you in court. Usually on this show, they're just infraction citations or minor kind of violations that we're concerned about. So it's not really that significant. But if it's a misdemeanor or a felony, it can become a more serious matter. So, for instance, Rico Thunder, also known as Wes Modes, apparently he's now been charged with, not a felony, he was originally charged with felony lynching, which doesn't mean stringing up a person of color. It means taking someone away from a sheriff or a deputy or a law enforcement official, removing someone from custody. That's lynching. I guess it has a certain relationship to the common understanding of what lynching is. But Wes was there on September 17th at the drum circle, and he was playing a drum. It was probably a different kind of drum. Was it a drum? I don't know. It was a percussion instrument of some kind to dramatize the fact that Sergeant Harms and his two fellow thugs, and that said without attempting to be mean or nasty to Harms and his police officers, but that's, I think, how they were acting. They were trying to close a public space to harass people who were there and had used that space for years, and because Mayor Coonerty had decided that it just didn't meet his rules of etiquette and he was going to close it down at the behest of the Downtown Association or whatever other merchants he felt wanted that done, that it was okay to set up fences around areas that had traditionally been open. And when people took down their fences, as they did yesterday at the drum circle, they faced criminal penalties. But of course, they don't really face criminal penalties. It's clearly selective enforcement, because every week People come to those fences and they take them down, just as happened that day on September 17th. And on that day, the police went after one man, Jack Russ, who is a Food Not Bombs advocate, and they are charging him with resisting arrest. And they are charging Wes Modes. They charged him initially, as I said, with lynching, and I believe with battery and with resisting arrest or obstructing an officer. And they, you know, called out, as I understand, two or three police departments of different neighboring areas, even though, and then they rescinded the call. But there were large numbers of police in order to essentially try to enforce the pretended authority of police officers to shut down a public assembly area where they had no business doing what they were doing. And they'd created a lot of anger among the community. And as a consequence, of course, the police have backed off again. But who knows now that Ryan Coonerty has been reelected, unfortunately, with the largest vote margin of any candidate, any city council candidate. I think Craig Canada ran last and Ryan Coonerty ran first. I was concerned they were going to try this again. But I think Coonerty may have learned his lesson that if you're going to start taking away people's rights, do it where people aren't watching. Do it where you can start raising the sinister specter of crime and drugs and danger. You know, you can't. It's hard to do that at the drum circle because while some people kind of regard it as an annoyance, it's certainly not a menace, and it isn't even unreasonable noise. Or there would have been tickets issued for that whole thing before this. You don't need a Coonerty's parking lot law, the law that says you cannot walk into a parking lot unless you're walking through or retrieving or parking your vehicle. And even if you're parking your vehicle, you're not allowed to read a book in it. You're not allowed to sit down and change the diapers of your baby. You can't wait in your car. I mean, all these are illegal because of Coonerty's law. Very unique. Very unique. I mean, unique in California almost. I mean, I think there may be one other city that has some restrictions, and San Jose has restrictions on private parking lots. I continue to assert this because it's such an absurd law. And, of course, the police don't enforce it a lot because all they have to do is scare people away by threatening to enforce it. And no one keeps a record of the number of times police have threatened to enforce it. It's like threatening to enforce you for reading the wrong books or threatening to enforce you for, you know, to arrest you for different things. If there's no record kept, then no one gets any sense of the dimensions of the kind of repression that's happening. And one of the things we do on this show is, in a way, we are keeping a record. If you look back over the archives of this show at huffsantacruz.org, you'll find that record of different individuals, and you can believe them or you can dismiss them, who claim to have had their rights violated by local police officers. Yeah, those friendly guys in the blue uniforms and gals, mostly guys, walking up and down Pacific Avenue, and their buddies, the hosts, who are kind of the eyes and ears of the police force, as we call it. And this is, to me, this is a scary thing. It's linked up to the war on terror, the war on drugs. It's a war on civil rights, and it doesn't have much to do with public safety or even good business practices or even sensible protection for businesses. I mean, it's just prejudice. A lot of it is prejudice. And there are some who disagree with me, and we've had discussions on the air about this whole issue, too. Around the issue of, well, what about those panhandlers who are, make, you know, they were nasty to me, and I'm not going to bring my daughter downtown anymore. Well, you know, I'm putting it in a somewhat negative way, but I mean, it could be an unpleasant experience. I got pissed with panhandlers who panhandle me, but you know, it's not all roses and flowers out there, folks. And to expect it to be that way by decree is both unrealistic and violates basic constitutional rights that we need to have, not just because it could be you, but because you need to know what's going on. If it's silenced, you won't know what's going on. And we need a society that is not predicated on fear, but we need the audacity of hope, as one, I would say, I was going to say hack politician said, let us say aspiring war criminal said, I'm referring, of course, to President-elect Barack Obama, who has voted for every military appropriation to come down the pike and yet has deluded everyone into believing that he's in favor of a meaningful withdrawal from Iraq and other places in the Middle East. Of course, he's also honest about it. He wants to pump up troops in Afghanistan and Pakistan, doesn't mind getting belligerent in Iran, and had nothing to say about the bombing in Syria. So, you know, we've got some weird shit going on, and a lot of people seem to be cheering at the wrong heroes. But, hey, any excuse for a party, I guess that's the motto, and I don't mind. I like parties myself. There was a grand opening of the Sub Rosa, the new community space in downtown Santa Cruz, and it's on this website. The Anarchist Cafe bookstore and performance space announced one last October 28th, so it was about a week ago or more. About a week ago, actually. A little more than a week ago. Tuesday, October 28th. And there was... It's a non-profit, donation-funded space for art and radical projects run by a collective of volunteers from the Santa Cruz Anarchist community. Located at 703 Pacific Avenue in downtown Santa Cruz, Sub Rosa is open 7 days a week, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. If you have any comments after this endlessly lengthy tirade that I find myself having gotten into, give me a call, or perhaps you have some updates on any of the things I've mentioned or stuff that has some links to what I've said. 427-3772 is the phone number to call, and I'm sure hoping that line is open. At least it rang. Maybe it's actually working.
Oh, Mary, don't you weep, don't you mourn. Oh, Mary, don't you weep, don't you mourn. Pharaoh's army got drowned. Oh, Mary, don't you weep.
Oh, Mary.
Oh, Mary, don't you weep, don't you mourn. Oh, Mary, don't you weep, don't you mourn. Pharaoh's army got drowned. Oh, Mary, don't you weep.
Now if I could, I surely would stand on the rock where Moses stood.
Pharaoh's army got drowned. Oh, Mary, don't you weep.
Oh, Mary.
Oh, Mary, don't you weep, don't you mourn. Oh, Mary, don't you weep, don't you mourn. Pharaoh's army got drowned. Oh, Mary, don't you weep.
Moses stood on the Dead Sea shore, smoking the water with a 2x4.
Pharaoh's army got drowned. Oh, Mary, don't you weep.
Oh, Mary.
Oh, Mary, don't you weep, don't you mourn. Oh, Mary, don't you weep, don't you mourn. Pharaoh's army got drowned. Oh, Mary, don't you weep.
God gave Noah the rainbow sign. No more water, but fire next time.
Pharaoh's army got drowned. Oh, Mary, don't you weep.
Oh, Mary.
Oh, Mary, don't you weep, don't you mourn. Oh, Mary, don't you weep, don't you mourn. Pharaoh's army got drowned. Oh, Mary, don't you weep. One of these days around 12 o'clock, this old world's gonna reel and rock. Pharaoh's army got drowned. Oh, Mary, don't you weep.
Oh, Mary.
Oh, Mary, don't you weep, don't you mourn. Oh, Mary, don't you weep, don't you mourn. Pharaoh's army got drowned.
And that was Oh, Mary, Don't You Weep, and that was the Halifax Three. It's kind of a cross between the Kingston Trio and Peter, Paul, and Mary, for those of you who are old enough to remember those groups, or perhaps have played them, heard your parents play them, or your grandparents. I'm not quite sure where we're at with these songs at this point. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org. I'm Robert Norris. Name of the show is Bathrop's Pier's Broadsides. We're archived at huffsantacruz.org. And you can call in, if you'd like, at 831-427-3772. 427-3772. I'm actually going to check my email, because that was one of my bads here last time. I didn't check my email to find out that the phones weren't working, so I'm going to see if actually anybody has tried to call in and failed, and maybe I'll get an exciting bit of news that will encourage me in the minutes ahead. That looks like there's nobody's emailed, nobody's called, nobody loves me. But hey, that's okay. I just love myself, and I'd love to listen to myself talk, so I'm going to talk some more. If you don't like what you hear, or you do like what you hear, or you think it's incomplete, or you want to comment, again, you're welcome to call in, 427-3772. Here's the tape I made of Sunday's incidents, which, frankly, were not courted by me or sought by me in any way. I was walking along after the radio show, which I normally do on Sunday morning downtown, and I was approached by a couple of guys, and they gave me these candid and somewhat colorful stories, uncensored.
Right. Well, it is now about 2:25 in front of Chianti's at the corner of Cathcart and Pacific on Sunday, the 2nd of November. I'm talking with
Jack
and
Tom.
And you guys just came up to me with a concern about the nature of the Holy Word coming out of the Metro Center.
Yeah, direct quotes out of the Bible.
Yep.
And commentary in between.
Being blasted out on loudspeaker?
Direct proselytizing out of loudspeaker.
Christian radio.
And you then went up to a security guard whose name was...
That nigger boy.
I will not be politically correct and eliminate that from the tape, but mind your language, my son.
Yeah.
We're all niggers of one sort or another. I can tell you that right now.
There you go.
Some of us are stuck with it because of our skin color. In any case, what happened when you spoke to this man?
He said that we don't have to be there. We could leave, which we did.
And what did the man look like?
A big fat nigger.
Right. And how would you describe him?
He was a security guard who seemed like he had nothing to do with any...
Oh, sure.
He was huge.
What he does, he works out with weights and fucks white
banker for the Oilers.
Source code.
Your man is ruining your cred here with the progressive community, Tom. Tom, mind your tongue, son. Did you ask the guard who his superior was? And if you didn't, are you interested in going back and doing that?
Yes, we did. He had no answer. Repeating, if we don't like it, we can leave.
I see. But he didn't attempt to make you leave, right?
No.
Okay.
Well, thank you for the update. I think you're probably right. I think what you need to do is, I'll just walk by and I'll document it by putting a little on the tape recorder.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'm sure it's still going on.
So I am approaching the Metro Center. It's about 2:30, a little bit before. And you can hear the sounds of the Metro speakers.
We saw those two things. But you know, God always works in shadows and types. And that's what we saw with the wicked servant.
And I'm standing in front of the doors of the Metro Center. There's a speaker on one side of the doors. I think there's another one on the other side.
Therefore, this forgiveness, this compassion, was a mere temporal type of forgiveness.
Okie dokie. And now walking into and through the Metro, past the Chinese restaurant, over to chat with the security guard. Which is not actually playing where the bus stop is, but I guess I'll ask him. Hey there, guy. How's it going? Oh, not bad. I got some complaints about the religious propaganda blasting out. No, it's not your responsibility, but yeah. Do you know who's in charge, who I should talk to?
There's no one here right now. You can make a complaint tomorrow morning between the hours of 8 and 4 at the information booth.
And I can. Oh, you bet. What's your name?
And what happened here is that I'm talking to the security guard. The security guard directed me to turn off my tape recorder. And I bristled at that, as you can hear from my voice, and asked what his name was, because he had no identification on his person. At least you couldn't see a badge number or a badge or a name tag or anything of that sort, other than the name of his security, the service that he worked for.
By the way, what's your name?
Okay, talk to you. Go ahead and record it.
Hey. You don't identify who you are. I'll be happy to pursue you until you do, man. Hey, look, you're responsible for this area, man.
You don't want to leave the property.
You're with the
police escort.
Get a police escort. Be my guest. I'm really just asking you a simple question, and as far as I'm concerned, this kind of religious propaganda is not appropriate. You know that. So I'm just trying to find out who I should talk to about it.
All right, tell me who you talk to.
Give me your name.
I give you nothing.
Give me your superior's name. Tell me who you work for. Okay, so you're refusing to give me your name and your superior's name. Who do you work for? You have National Securities Industry written on you. You're a tall man, I would say about 6'5". You're African-American, fairly chunky, no offense meant. And again, I make one more request before I file a complaint with you, with your organization tomorrow. I don't think you want to do that, do you? And you're going into the elevator to get away. See you later. How's it going? I'm here in the little store inside the... What's the name of your store here?
Metro Market.
And you said you... What's your first name?
Yes, sir.
And yes, sir, you said a number of people have mentioned this Christian speechifying, or the stuff that's being broadcast over the speakers out front.
Yes.
And how many people would you say have spoken to you about it with some concerns?
Two or three.
And how many customers would you say you've had all day?
I
pretty large number, right?
Yeah.
Maybe 30 or 40 or...
Probably, but it didn't happen today. It's been happening for the past couple of days.
So this has been the same Christian propaganda for the last few days?
Well, I don't hear nothing inside.
You can't hear anything in this store, no.
Yes, but they've been complaining about what's been being broadcast on the stereos.
Interesting. Do we know where that comes from? I mean, you say usually there's a person here, but since this is Sunday, you can't really talk to an employee, right?
Right. Probably tomorrow by Monday.
Thank you. Have a good day. And here again, as we're outside, is what we're hearing.
What's the consequence thereof? He or she becomes accountable. And God calls that accountability, the linkage now, marriage. Again, Romans 7. Knowing not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, that is those who fall under this condemnation, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman, we have a woman, like we do in Numbers 5. We have a wife or woman there. We have a husband there.
So Metro Supervisor 807,
literally,
at least that's what's on his vehicle,
who is
just pulled up.
Man,
and
I'll
try to find out what, in fact, is who's responsible for this. Apparently, it's been going on for, if the individual we just spoke to is accurate, it's been going on for a couple of days.
And if she is loose from the law of her husband, so then if while her husband liveth, is our husband in Numbers 5 alive or dead? Alive enough at least to drag her to the preaching. She be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. Very similar, isn't it, to Numbers 5?
I'll go ask this fellow.
If while her husband liveth, she be married to another man.
Hey there. How's it going?
Okay, what's up?
Well, I'm just wondering, who is responsible for what comes over the speakers? I assume you guys aren't particularly.
We are. Why? What's going on?
Well,
is something offensive or bothering you?
Yeah.
Volume-wise or content?
Content. In other words, the volume is okay. It's religious information that would be appropriate in a church or on the street.
Really?
I would think so. But not from a loudspeaker, which government funded. That's my concern.
Well, what they did was they made an effort to put music out there
that would disperse the crowd.
No. Well, they thought that classical music would not be something the kids that you normally accumulate down here like.
Right.
So this is supposed to be classical.
Right.
But it's not.
Have a listen.
And guess what? The nation now becomes the wife of God, as Israel was the wife of God.
This is what I can do.
Thank you.
This has got to be some kind of...
It's probably a mistake. What's your name?
My name is Ed Nelson.
Robert Ed. I'm with Free Radio, so I'm just doing some investigating.
Okay. Well, I'm going to check it out and see what I can do.
Thank you. Last thing.
That is all of the unsaved that is on the last day. They will be destroyed.
Do you have any connection with the security guards who run?
That's what I'm calling right now.
Oh, good. Because the only thing I would also request is if the security guard is requested to say who he is, that he do so. I asked who he was and who his supervisor was. He wouldn't tell me. So
we probably wanted to know why you wanted to know.
Sure.
Unless there was a specific issue.
Well, he knew. I told him.
He did?
Yeah, I said, there's a concern about this. He said, I'm not going to tell you. He didn't want to be recorded.
Oh.
But I said, look, you're in a public...
Am I being recorded right now?
Yes.
You know, you should always tell people when
it is out. I said, with the radio. Remember, you heard me say that.
That's right. That doesn't... Hey, look, I worked with radio for 8 years,
yeah.
And I... B unit, could I meet you in the Greyhound lot, please?
I hope you realize they're using it.
And I don't think everybody I talked to when I was in radio would assume that I was recording.
That's correct. I am, in fact, but understand, I already had a problem with another individual in here who wouldn't identify who he was, and therefore it was important for me, for my own safety, to record what goes on, because you're in a position of some authority, and it'll be my account against yours if there's a problem. So it's not really a personal, I'm not trying to be, a personal.
Do you have any control over that?
Yeah, I do it pretty on and off.
On and off?
And what's happening now is he's called the tall African-American security guard who refused to identify himself and took offense to my recording, and the guy is talking to the supervisor. The supervisor is himself African-American, an older man. And, in terms of recording, my understanding of the law, and, it is sort of a layman's understanding, is that unless you can't record on the phone in California unless both parties agree. But if you are in a public place and there's no expectation of privacy, you can record all you want. And that's why I have such problems with the police departments and the city council workers posting notes that you can't record in the public areas of their offices. Because I think it's really important to be able to document the encounters you have with city officials so that both, if they are treating you abusively, there should be a record of that. But more important, if they want to accuse you of raising your voice or being abusive or being inappropriate, it's important that you have a record of the fact that you weren't doing those things. And so that's one of the reasons that a tape recorder is one of the things I often carry with me on the street when I go around, as well as, of course, it has the value of being able to record other people's experiences. So all this that you've heard happened Sunday at the Metro Transit Center and involved, for those of you who tuned in late, a concern I had that was conveyed to me by two people on the street that the loudspeakers, which are often used, as you heard Ed Nelson, the supervisor, say, to drive away young people with classical music, kind of the 7-Eleven approach. I think it was the first time I heard of it being used was at 7-Elevens or some such thing. And instead now they were using Christian sermons. I recorded some of that. I complained about it. The security guard refused to do anything about it and just simply, walked away from it. The supervisor admitted that he had responsibility for it, and he was trying to investigate. At the point we cut off the tape, what could be done and could it be changed, and apparently he's being told, no, it could be turned off.
Is the station fixed?
The station is our preset, yeah.
It's preset?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Let me talk to you in a second.
Okay.
Thank you both. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I ask is that there be identification if you're talking to somebody. I just want to know who I'm talking to. That's all. So apparently the problem is going to be resolved one way or the other, maybe. But I'm too hungry to stay.
And so I left and went off to get lunch, thinking things have been resolved. I didn't want to bother to come back and file a complaint against the security guy. I mean, my hope is they could resolve these things without difficulties. But, of course, more difficulties ensued. Here's a caller. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hey, Sherlock Holmes.
Hey, Sherlock, what's up?
This is Timothy. That's KSCO they're playing at the bus station.
What's that?
That's KSCO.
Really? KSCO is that kind of religious stuff in the middle of the day on Sunday?
Yep. Sunday afternoon.
Interesting.
KSCO. Talk to you later.
Yeah, thank you very much, Sherlock.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that's interesting information. KSCO should kick down some money to the Metro for broadcasting its religious stuff, which I presume is also complete with commercials, although actually I didn't hear any commercials. Maybe they cut the commercials, but it sounds like they don't, because I don't think the security guard's going to run up and cut off the commercials. Maybe it's a loop tape, but since it was on Sunday and it was sermonizing, it was KSCO, I don't think KSCO normally has tapes or normally has sermons on other days. But, you know, I'm not a big and regular KSCO listener. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org is what you're listening to. I'm Robert Norris, and the phone number here, in case you wish to comment or possibly give me a sermon, is 427-3772. So, we've reached the point in this narrative, which, by the way, you can see another person's perspective on it by going to indiebay.org/Santa Cruz, to the Santa Cruz Indie Media, where there's a story that has been posted. The story that has been posted is... I can find the darn thing. A little trouble finding it. My goodness. Well, I will find it. It talks about the kind of the more important aspect of it. Well, actually, maybe this activity where there was, you know, broadcasting of essentially religious propaganda. A religious perspective of a fundamentalist sort over the loudspeakers of the Metro, which is really kind of a no-no. You don't do that. Having trouble accessing the internet here, but I'm going to play some more of the of what happened next. And this here you get to hear yours truly being cited by the police.
Well, yeah. For yourself. Okay, well, it's about 3:35. I'm at the Metro Center front entrance on Pacific Avenue. A tall, black National Security Agency, that's the name of his private agency. I don't think he's with the real NSA, but just came by and told the two guys who were sitting nearby with backpacks to leave. And I was talking to my friend
Jack,
who you were chatting about old times, so to speak. But Jack, you said that you recently have had an experience here at the Metro, which you too were approached by a security guard.
Yeah, it was actually a supervisor for the Metro.
What did he look like?
I don't know. He looked
African-American, white?
He looked authoritarian.
White, black, green?
He was a white guy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I talked to a black supervisor today.
Or so. He came over when I was waiting for a bus and asked me what bus I was waiting for. And I just told him one that hadn't come yet. And fortunately, they didn't do anything, but...
You were afraid?
He was definitely being pushy about... He wasn't asking me why I was there, but that was what his intent was.
And how long did he stay there to keep an eye on you?
Only probably about 5 minutes after that. He was sitting there for about 10 minutes before he asked me, and then probably about 5 minutes after that.
Maybe he just liked your looks.
Maybe so. He might have actually wanted to give me a ride somewhere.
What a sweetie. You don't think so?
Well, you know.
Paranoid dog that you are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if they've got handcuffs, I'm not. No, I ain't going there.
But I noticed there's no Christian sermonizing coming out of the speaker.
Yeah, that's nice.
I asked these guys. I mean,
get enough of that.
Hey, I'm with Free Radio, Radio Libre. Any problemas aquí con la policía o no?
No. You know, no, no, que yo.
Pienso que él es poco. Okay.
And the point was that these guys were singled out by the security guard and told to leave. And I think they moved off the property. They moved to another space on the same property. It's not quite clear to me exactly what went down here. But I'm always concerned when people are told to do things that they shouldn't have to do unless they want to do them, simply because somebody with a uniform and a badge and a gun, or in this case, I guess just a badge, I don't think these security guards were armed in that way, tells them to do something. I think it's really a bad practice for people to obey in a robotic or fearful way, because I think, you know, it's important that people realize they have to make independent judgments on this, and particularly poor people are affected by these kinds of, you know, get off the mall, get out of sight, move away from here, move away from there. And so my point was to, you know, find out what was going on. These guys didn't have any interest in, you know, causing any trouble with the police or getting in, you know, spotlighted in any way. So that was fine, and I can understand that completely.
Well, good luck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. How you doing, hombre?
I'm doing all right. Another day.
Any hassles?
Nope.
You're just very cheerful today, aren't we?
We're trying.
And this was another fellow. I was originally talking to Jack, who is a homeless camper up in the Pogonip, who's been kind of documenting or has made some observations about ranger and labor-ready depredations. Labor-ready is the organization that Chief Ranger John Wallace illegally sends in to destroy, seize, and compact homeless property in the camps that he destroys and tags. And this has been shown to be a practice. Fresno homeless have gotten $2.3 million. Their attorney's got, I think, $0.8 million of that through a federal lawsuit around this issue. So it's a live and active issue in the Ninth Court jurisdiction, which covers, I think, nine states, Ninth Federal Court of Appeals. And it's one that the city council and the city of Santa Cruz should be paying some attention to, but, of course, isn't, because we have a city council which has zero interest in homeless civil rights at all, and very little interest in any kind of homeless services, even though they make some token gestures in that regard. Anyway, Jack and I were talking, and a third person came up to chat about this, about some other stuff. We were just having a kind of a friendly conversation, and we were standing about maybe 5 to 10 feet from the sidewalk, in the main passageway, the broad passageway that leads into the Metro Center, where you find doors that automatically open, at the entrance to the Metro Center on Pacific Avenue, the Metro Center building that includes the businesses inside.
Your name, Chairman?
Les.
Hey, Les. Any instance on the street you want to report?
Nothing right at this moment. Actually, really calm.
Cool.
Ranger Wallace busted a bunch of guys out of the clubhouse over at Harvey West at like 8:30 the other night when it was raining.
What were they doing?
Sleeping.
How many were there?
Several, that's all I know.
And you heard secondhand, or were there?
Secondhand.
And
I can confirm, I heard the same thing. I heard that Wallace went out and kicked a lot of people out.
Yep. Were these people inside a building, under a lean-to?
Under an awning.
Yep. Oh, well, that's very public-minded of him. I mean, they could, you know, cause real damage to that awning by standing underneath it.
Oh, yeah. Like, maybe they couldn't get any sleep.
Uh-huh.
Which I think is wrong. I think everybody in Santa Cruz County should be able to sleep.
We asked you once to...
And what we have here is a guard approaching and demanding we leave. There are three of us talking. There's very light traffic on the avenue. It's a Sunday afternoon. The weather is fairly nice, a little cool. I think the sun is out. But there's hardly any traffic going in and out of the Metro Center. So that's the situation when this is a new security guard who approaches.
Yeah, have you moved?
What's your name?
Is that a recording thing?
It sure is.
Is there a reason why you have that?
Oh, well, you're requesting to leave a public space open to the public. It's a transit authority.
Can you look that up and come back and talk to me?
No, but if you want to make a false arrest, please be my guest. Hey, I'd love it. Come on, but give me your name, please. Not interested, apparently. And here's another individual who refuses to identify himself. I want you to notice he has no identification on his person, so you can't see who he is except his uniform. So if he makes a mistake, all you can see is the security on his hat.
And at this point, the security guard, whose name ended up being Dan, and that was the name he eventually put on the ticket, apparently left to confer with his superior or to get his ticket book or who knows what, get a drink of water, to think about the situation. Dan was actually kind of a friendly guy in many respects. It's simply he was engaging in intimidating people away through his authority and through making false reports to the police that there were violations of the law happening that weren't happening, namely that there was something illegal about what we were doing when there wasn't. The police colluded in this ultimately by also agreeing to accept this and giving me a citation and demanding I leave the property. You might say, well, this is a small thing. Why not just move a few feet because a police officer and a security guard tells you to? No. It's not good to surrender anything to the police or security guards unless there's a good reason for it. If there's any kind of good reason for it or you're engaging in a criminal act, sure. If there's even some reasonable explanation, like there's some construction project happening or, I don't know, there's a killer in the area or, you know, the cement is wet. I don't know, whatever, something reasonable. But simply on the say-so of a person in uniform, not a good idea.
No, you're required to identify yourself. He's now moving along two other individuals who are harmless, simply standing nearby, and is now walking. Again, last chance to identify yourself. Okay, this is a man of about 6 feet, Latino, chunky, refuses to identify himself. Fair enough.
Now, it has to be said, none of us have to identify ourselves on the street if we're asked, even by the police. There's no law in this country that requires you either show ID or say who you are. Of course, if a police officer suspects you of a crime, they can hold you until they can identify you, and then, you know, that can be a problem if you want to get released. Eventually, they'll identify you through your fingerprints or some such thing. But it might take a day or two. So in a way, there's no responsibility. The guy doesn't really have to identify himself, except that he is employed by an agency that is presumably getting money from the public to provide security for the Metro Transit Authority. And therefore, there is probably some policy regarding identification, though there's no identification on his uniform, and that's interesting. So maybe they don't have a policy, and frankly, it's been 4 days, and I haven't followed up to find out exactly what the policies of this organization is. It has to be said that one has only a certain amount of energy to pursue this stuff. It's also, it does take a certain amount of wear and tear, and I haven't been feeling in the best of health, as I mentioned earlier in the broadcast. So if anybody wants to help with this particular situation, which began with our complaint about religious radio shows being broadcast through public loudspeakers at the Metro, and I thought was resolved fairly amicably, although I didn't get any assurance that I wouldn't be, you know, denied the information about who I was talking to by a security guard from the supervisor, and then ended with a false arrest, I would like some help. If anybody's interested, give me a call off air at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. And alternately, if this kind of thing has happened to you, let me know what's going on. The kind of help I'm looking for, frankly, is I think we should be determining how many people have been getting this kind of reception from security guards at the Metro, been hassled for their appearance, their race, for their economic status, their manner of dress, the fact that they're loitering in the area, if you will, lingering, socializing. These are things that we should feel free to do, and if they're not being allowed us, we need to find ways to reclaim these rights so that we can have essentially a welcoming and comfortable downtown again.
I love it.
Yeah. Come back, please.
I want to find out about this private property thing.
Actually, it's not private property. It's county transit.
I know. Yeah,
we have
that's what
right
I'm saying.
There.
Yeah.
And
you might not have heard it, but the security guard insisted that we were on private property and that we were interfering or we were trespassing on a business, and that was what he was going to do, is cite us for trespassing on a business. And in fact, that's eventually what the police department did with a private citizen's arrest from this particular security guard, Dan. A mistaken arrest because for several reasons, which I'll go into. But mostly the problem really here was I was challenging his authority. And, you know, the guy was very nice. And in fact, after this arrest, you'll hear that he gives me an interview, which is kind of strange. And it's just unfortunate we get pitted against each other, but you have to stop people who are getting paid to allow them to drive other people away from public spaces, to make other people afraid, to treat other people as less than human beings. However, nicely, they want to remove your rights.
We're going to catch a bus, or I don't see anything wrong with hanging out. We're not smoking, at least I'm not.
No, he wants to request people not smoke. I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
I suppose there might even be a law against sitting near a building, but certainly has no right to
assist people move on. It's an ordinance. Definitely not a law. It's an ordinance.
Even an ordinance. There's no ordinance that says you can't be at the bus station.
That's right.
But anyway, he left.
And we weren't even at the bus station. We were outside on the entrance to the bus station, and we were, you know, in no way blocking the sidewalk and no way interfering with anything. Although you're going to hear several interesting reasons that the security guards give as to why they are citing later.
That was fun.
Like, a guy with a tape recorder, and they're like, no, no, that wouldn't, no, that wouldn't,
whoops,
just don't.
Right.
We know who that guy is.
So, you were reporting on, both of you were saying there was a report of Ranger Wallace harassing poor people.
Yeah, up at Harvey West by the clubhouse right there.
And what night was that?
About two nights ago.
Yeah. First rainy night.
Oh boy, was it raining.
Nope.
It wasn't rainy, it was looked like Niagara Falls.
Really?
Yeah. One of us out here got wet that night.
Anybody get sick?
I've heard a couple of people saying that they're starting to catch cold.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least the sun came out, and we got some sunshine now.
And we had Dennis over at the clock tower feeding today. So.
Oh, that's good. How many people showed up?
Say at least 150.
And did he have any reports that you know of?
This is Dennis Adams, who has a weekly meal on Sunday at the town clock. I've kind of recounted, and he's actually given some interviews about how he's been driven around town, away from Pacific Avenue, away from the Veterans Hall, away from the parks, till finally without further threats from private security guards or police, to hang out at the town clock every Sunday for a couple hours and feed people. I suppose this is a victory. When we tried it in 1989, they were arresting us repeatedly. And, of course, we kept coming back with more food, and eventually they stopped. And we established the precedent. Dennis, as I've mentioned before, Dennis Adams, Pastor Dennis Adams of the Pastor's Hand, I think it is. I probably have that slightly wrong. But he's been doing this for some time. He gives out great food. He also expresses sympathy for homeless people, invites activists to take reports as to when homeless people are being harassed for sleeping and when their property has been taken. Although, you know, he's a Christian perspective. He talks about Jesus and so forth. But it's a much more welcoming environment than the Metro and KSCO. So if you want to get a sermon, it's about the same time, too. Go check out Pastor Dennis Adams at the town clock around 2 o'clock on Sundays, and you'll get some decent food as well. Another thing that has to be said about this whole situation is I'm interviewing two people who are helping me provide information to the community about current events. And these security guards are, you'll find, frightening and driving away the people I'm trying to interview by insisting we leave. Not exactly sort of much respect for First Amendment activity in Santa Cruz. And again, this is being done not in a private business, but in a public metro transit area.
People being otherwise harassed during this rainy season?
No, I haven't.
What's the word on the armory opening?
The 15th.
Okay. And
I thought for sure they would at least open it because it was raining and downpouring like that.
No,
see, when Marcus was over there, he would do that for us, but since he passed away...
Oh, they can't open up. That's a...
Oh, yeah, Marcus used to do it all the time when it was raining.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
no,
he would let us stay.
Here comes the security guard again.
Hall.
What's your name,
right,
sir?
Right,
but not the
so,
armory. Right.
What's your name?
You know?
What's your name, sir? What is your name, sir? I again repeat the question. What is your name?
I'm the one asking the question.
No. You're a man who approached me in a uniform, and you're employed here. What is your name?
What is your name?
I'm a private citizen.
See?
I'm a private citizen. You're not. You're trying to give me an order now. What is your name, sir?
I'm going to ask you nicely one more time. I'm asking you to leave the property. If not, I'm going to call Dr. Steve.
Okay, please. I feel I have a right to be here. I'm, in essence, waiting for a bus. Know what I mean? Jelly bean?
I'm going to ask you...
And I'm telling you, so leave me alone. No, I have a right to record what you say. You are approaching me.
Yeah, I'm not asking me.
No, you're in public. You have no expectation of privacy. Go make your phone call, please.
Okay,
go make your phone call.
But please give your name next time. If you're not afraid and you're doing something that's legal, you shouldn't be afraid to give your name.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Anyways, back to what we were saying.
Right.
What were we talking about?
We were discussing, I guess, we had Ranger Wallace, and then we also had...
we were talking about the armory.
Oh, the armory opening on the 15th.
There's a squad car driving by right now. Call him over. Come on, Mr. Security Guard. I won't give his name. He's right here. Come on back. Or stop harassing people down here, please. Stop.
And there's some who might consider that this is sort of provocation for the guard. But in fact, you know, I'm simply trying to encourage him to leave people alone and to point out that there'll be a cost if he doesn't, that it'll be brought to the public attention, he'll be publicly criticized, that it won't be passed over obediently and silently and fearfully, that it will be broadcast on the radio. And that, I think, may or may not have an effect. Who knows how many people listening to this broadcast care about this. I haven't heard any phone calls coming in. By the way, if anybody wants to call in, you can. It's 427-3772. And I would ask, has anything like this ever happened to you? Is this something that you feel is good use of public funds? Since I'm sure the security guards are employed to some extent out of public money that comes from the Metro Transit Authority. 427-3772 is the call-in number. And you're listening to Free Radio, 101.1 FM. Freakradio.org is what we're streaming at. And the show is archived at www.huffsantacruz.org. And what we're listening to is a recording of an incident that happened on Sunday, November 2nd, about 3:30 in the afternoon, at the Metro Transit Authority right off Pacific Avenue.
Harassing the people who are trying to use the public spaces. That's what you're doing. Please stop doing that. Hey. Or give your name and give your supervisor's name. One of the two. Maybe all three.
Yeah. Hey, sis.
Hey.
Yes, I sure do, huh?
And let me get my camera out so we can take a picture of this fine gentleman.
Yeah, really.
Since he refuses to identify himself.
So what is your problem, sir?
I just don't want to be harassed, and I want to know who I'm talking to if somebody does.
You have to have a problem just because we're standing.
We're standing talking. You are creating the problem. That's the problem. Can you hold my coat for a minute?
It isn't a problem.
I asked you guys nicely to move.
And if I ask you nicely...
Now, you're hearing a number of voices. The louder voices are mine and that of the two men I'm talking to, the homeless guys, Les and Jack. Dan, the security guard, is a soft-spoken fellow with a slight... Latino accent, and it's a little harder to hear him.
To get down on your knees and start groveling. If I asked you nicely to go back to your house, what would you say to me? You'd say, go away. Stop bothering me.
Exactly.
To you.
See, that's about me in your house.
This is America. It's free here. The city owns this, right? Or the county?
No, this is private property.
Who owns it then?
You want to show you the picture of the guy?
Well, the county uses it. And anybody can come and go, right?
This is the bus? We have the right to refuse that.
No, you don't.
No, you
Unless
don't
you
have the right to refuse
You have to have good
that.
Sorry about that. I appreciate the dead air. That's probably being informed about that. Hi there. I guess you got the dead air coming at you there.
Yeah, Robert, this is Uncle Dennis. The stream is running, but there's no audio on it.
Oh, really?
So double-click on the keyboard, scroll on. There we go.
I didn't do anything, actually. I think the reason you didn't hear it, Dennis, is because, and this is our next show host coming up, From the Cream to the Dregs, so stay tuned for him, is because I had my sound turned
on. See you, Robert. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And what I was trying to say throughout that long blank period, and I apologize to folks for that, was that there is a law that does allow people to give tickets for trespass on the Transit Authority property. It's actually a municipal code. It says such that notification that the owner, operator, or person in charge has issued a withdrawal of consent for a person to enter or remain on the public transit facility has to be in writing, specify the period of time not to exceed 14 consecutive days in the particular transit facilities, and also it shall contain a statement informing the recipient that he or she may appeal the issuance of the withdrawal of consent. It also states it be issued only to a person who has violated duly adopted written rules or regulations, of which there were none posted and none cited, applicable to a public transit authority, or otherwise disrupted the operation of a public transit facility in a manner prescribed by statute or ordinance. And obviously none of that was happening. So here's a little more of the tape and how things continued.
And the fact that I won't leave when you tell me to resign.
It's not a private enterprise. The Metro is not a private enterprise.
Yeah, there's no
it's
illegal
a government enterprise.
Yeah.
Well, we get funds from it, but it's all private property.
You know,
I'm trying to do my job.
I know you're trying to do your job.
But I think part of your job is saying who you are and who your boss is. I mean, it really is.
Yeah, it's, but, like, I don't feel like, you know,
I know it's
right.
Why is it?
It's not right that you come out.
But the problem is you're approaching us. You're approaching groups of people and telling us to leave. We're saying no. This is open to the public, you know?
Right,
this property is open to the public.
I'm asking you not to do this, and you guys are acting like rebellious.
I think that you don't have any leg to stand on.
Look, if somebody told you that you couldn't do certain things that you feel you had a right to do, you would probably you might listen, but you'd make a decision. You'd say, look, officer, I think you're wrong. And I'm not trying to be mean to you. I'm not trying to single you out personally. But I tell you, and I ask you again for your name and who you work for in terms of your superior.
The other guard told you. Did he ask you to leave?
No.
Oh. Did you ask him to, like, turn off the radio or something like that?
Yeah, and he did. Finally. First he refused. He refused to give his name. I got his superior, and his superior ordered him to turn off the radio.
Oh, okay.
And did. That's what happened, as I understand it. Well, it's you know, you can't have... I mean, if you're in a church, you can get some Christian propaganda.
Can you say yes, some
proposition, too?
No, I can't take it. No, I'm working
on it. Let me take a look.
Happy birthday.
I haven't voted yet, but I'll read this before I go to the polls.
Yes, but it's...
Somebody else was, you know, giving me a flyer, again, walking on the public transit authority, and presumably, I guess, this guard felt he could get her to leave, too, if he wanted, although he didn't say so.
It won't take away your right to eat meat. Just means the animal...
will be treated better, yeah, or...
Yeah.
I'm sympathetic to it, you know, I agree.
And usually they have to shoot them for hormones and all
yeah.
to make them live.
That's right.
Thank you.
No. Right. You know, what I'm going to do, and again, you're refusing...
Dan.
You Dan. Now, will they know you by the name Dan? If I say to your superior, a man named Dan spoke to me, they'll know who I'm talking about? Is that an accurate name? That's an accurate name.
And Dan was speaking truthfully, at least that was the name he then wrote on the citation that eventually he gave to the police to pass on to me to expel me from that public area.
Well, I'll give you my card if you want my card. Lest I be accused of littering. You know, I don't mind you having my card. In fact, if you have something you want to talk about, I do a radio show on this stuff. Here.
What radio show?
It's called Bathurst Spears Broadside. It's on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Over there by the library?
No, down there.
Down where?
Down Laurel Street.
It's
a pirate radio station. Pirate radio station? Underground radio station? Yeah, we've been going for about since 1995, so we've been going for a while. But,
way while.
Yeah, we've been around for a while. So So it's nothing. It's nothing personal to you, Dan.
Listen, so when I ask, like, can you guys move on from here? We do this to everybody.
I know, and I don't think it should be done. And I realize you're told to do it. I'm not trying to be mean to you.
Right.
What I'm saying to you is, the people who are telling you to do this are putting you in a position of some peril. Because if you try to make an arrest of me, I think you would find yourself in trouble. I mean, I'll be happy to. If you want to arrest me, I'll go right with you right now. But that would be a mistake, you know. Because I know I just want to use the public space here. That's what I'm doing. That's all.
See, why? You know, it's a whole different subject now. You're switching it. You kind of like.
Well, now, how is it a different subject?
Well, you're a lot more, you know, with me now.
Well,
way against me right now.
It's not that I'm against you. I'm against the idea that a person in a uniform comes up and tells us to leave a public space, won't say who he is, threatens to call the police.
I do.
Calls the police. And you see they're not being too responsive. Maybe they have other things they're doing. Who knows?
Probably.
Yeah, but if you can give them my card. You can tell them that, you know, they can talk.
Are you leaving right now?
I don't. I'm not going to stay here all day. When we're finished talking, I'll leave. But, you know, I mean, I'll be here for...
With me?
With...
So if I leave, you leave?
I was talking to somebody else before that. I mean, in a way, you've kind of made it an issue. So you kind of, you know, are encouraging me not to leave. That's the problem, you know.
Wow, that's funny. I got to watch what I'm doing.
You know, I mean, if somebody says, you can't eat that cake, you say, wait a minute, yes, I can,
exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a silly thing, but there it is. You know how that is, Dan.
You were born and raised in Texas, right?
No, I was.
Where were you born and raised?
I was born in Oregon. How about yourself?
Watsonville.
Yeah. And how are things in Watsonville in terms of housing? I hear that things are getting kind of short over there for at least some folks. Yeah. So, it's now about 10 to 4. That was a conversation with Dan, or maybe his name isn't Dan. It's hard to tell for
or
sure.
Something like that.
Now, what's your name, sir?
Les.
And we're talking also with
Jack. Again.
So, you're...
Horse walked into a bus. No.
What? But I can assure you that you're...
So, are you catching the bus? Telling me that?
Well, let me put it this way. I think I'm using the space legitimately. I may, in fact, be catching a bus.
Okay. So that's... I don't want to be kicking you off if you're catching a bus.
Right. I mean, well, I don't think... Unless I'm engaging in illegal activity, I don't want to see you kicking anybody out of here. That's my feeling. And I know you've been given other instructions.
First of all, I didn't kick you. I asked you to leave. You can move over here. That would be perfectly fine.
Well, you did... You didn't tell me where you wanted me to move.
I asked you to move from there. Anywhere else from there falls into the plan.
Is there a problem with my standing right here?
Yes,
how is there a problem?
You're blocking that sign, and that's one of the policies.
I'm blocking the sign.
Of course, this is the first time that Dan has mentioned that I'm blocking the sign. What the sign he's referring to is a sign that's about, knee-high. It's a sort of the lettering along the cement area, the cement square or triangle in front of the bus station that says Santa Cruz Metro Center or something like that.
That was me.
That was all you.
How are you doing there, Officer Albert?
And at this point, the police arrive, and I believe shortly thereafter my two witnesses sort of disappear into the background.
So he's asking to move himself from the sign, and he's refusing to move along, and then he's approaching me with a tape recorder and taking pictures of me when I ask him not to. And I ask him, if he's not going to listen to me, he's going to have to leave. And the gentleman over there was smoking cigarettes. I ask him, he can't smoke cigarettes, and he's just going over the belly.
No, I put the cigarette out.
You finished your cigarette.
I
asked him to leave the property.
So, is there a problem with you leaving the property?
It's open to the public. I don't think I should have to leave the property.
This is owned by the Metro. If they want you to leave the property, yes.
This is the Santa Cruz Police Department talking. This is Officer Albert talking. He apparently doesn't know the law either. Or perhaps he knows the law better than I do, and I'm misreading the law. I guess this is an issue that has yet to be determined in court, but one shouldn't have to wait for a court to decide so obvious an issue. If there is the unbridled right of a police officer to order anybody off the Metro property for any reason whatsoever if he doesn't like their attitude, that's a pretty powerful police power to give security guards, and that seems to be what's happening. Because you're hearing the entire course of all my communications with these Metro guards, and there's obviously, I'm talking back to them, I'm being sarcastic, But I'm certainly not creating any kind of a public disturbance. I'm not damaging property. I'm not challenging them to fight. I'm just saying, leave us alone to talk. And their response seems to be that they can have us arrested if we don't leave the property.
I'm waiting for a bus. They've got no right to give me to leave the property.
Oh, really? If you don't leave the property, you're going to probably get, you want to do trespassing?
Trespassing.
So it comes down to that.
Can you show me the code section? I might be up for it. You got to get a copy of the code section?
I'm not going to give you a copy of the code. You can look it up on your own.
And again, you see how Officer Albert, although it may be a personal thing, maybe he doesn't like me as an activist, maybe he doesn't have a copy of the code section. Often police officers work without the code but have some sort of a cheat sheet. He simply wants you to obey his authority without really considering the facts involved, without really considering the law involved. It's simply some other individual in uniform has given him a report, and so he's going to proceed to carry it out, regardless of the fact that what's required on a public transit facility is, according to this law, that you give written notice, that there actually be some disruption, and so forth, which, of course, isn't happening. So this is all bluff. But it stops being bluff when they write the citation, and it also stops being bluff when you agree to be arrested. I was arrested non-custodially, that is, I wasn't taken into custody, but I didn't want to be arrested because I didn't want to be held overnight on that Sunday night. But if I go back there, which I probably will, and hopefully I'll do so with some witnesses, it will be a different story. I mean, I will be ready to do what I need to do to assert the right of any member of the public to use the public space there without being harassed by security guards because they take a notion that they don't like, well, they don't like the fact you have a tape recorder, you know, they don't like the fact that you're asking questions about why the, you know, there's religious sermons coming over the radio. They don't like the fact that you're asking them to identify themselves and so forth.
Would you like to leave or do we have to go through the hard?
I'm thinking about it.
Okay, well, you have like a 30 seconds to mull it over.
Well, it depends. I want to make sure that I walk back on this property. I don't get further harassed just because the security guard doesn't like the way I look. I don't think that's appropriate.
It's their property. If they want, they have the right to refuse service to anyone they want.
This is funded by the public, this Metro Center. You know that. We pay taxes for this, so it's partially publicly owned.
Do you have ID on you, Mr. Norris?
My name is Robert Norris, and that's my identification.
I need. Do you have any kind of paper ID or identification?
You don't believe I'm who I say I am?
No, but I need to get information from
you. I can give you the information. I'd be under penalty of perjury, sure. That's me.
Now, this is not what is recommended by people who do the Know Your Rights seminar, which people who have listened to this show may have heard. They simply recommend you go for the arrest. Or you say, I have nothing to say. I wish to, you know, I don't, I only, I will speak, you know, my attorney will speak for me. I want to talk to an attorney. I don't consent to a search. Am I free to go? Is the suggestions that are used. This is appropriate. However, he's writing a ticket. And if I don't give him the information he requests, he will either abandon writing the ticket, which is a real possibility, and maybe I should have tried that, or he will have me taken into custody and jailed, which may mean that if I'm right about all this being, and I think I am, a false arrest, I have a more significant basis for a civil lawsuit later, and it becomes a more abusive behavior by the police and by the other authorities. And that's a consideration. And usually in the past, when I'm in the midst of these kinds of protests, you know, I don't surrender what I'm doing, but I go to jail if necessary. This, however, was a Sunday. I hadn't expected any of this was going to happen. It kind of comes at you out of the blue. And I decided to finesse it to the extent with which I would take a ticket. But at this point, I would not necessarily require that I be taken to jail. Although, again, if you are being falsely arrested, the further they take it, the more damages you are likely to receive if you can find the lawyer, of course, to do the lawsuit.
Oh, man, I just don't know his birthday or ID number and that kind of stuff. Do you have all that with you?
Yeah, I'll give you all that.
Can I have that now?
Sure. Why don't we step into the sunshine? I'm a little chilly out here.
Here it goes.
Yeah. Okay, so it's Robert Norris, N-O-R-S-E.
What's your date of birth?
And the date of birth is May 30th, 1947.
Do you know your ID number?
I don't know my ID number, but you have it in your computer system, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but I don't have a computer with me.
Right, but I mean, it's...
So we can book it up on the radio.
I'm sure you'll be able to find it. Hey, how's it going? Getting arrested.
What's your local address or mailing address?
309 Cedar, PMV 14B.
14B?
Huh? I'm watching his coat right now. He wanted me to hold on to his coat.
Did you say 14B?
Yes. I'm going to ask him.
I can go stand over here.
And the little dialogue here off to the side is Jack, who's kind of hanging with me, is now being told to leave. I'm being isolated from people. Also, often what happens when I don't often get arrested, contrary to what some people say, and perhaps contrary to what I should be doing, but sometimes when I get arrested, I make a very loud, in essence, almost a public spectacle of it in order to inform the community of what's happening so it doesn't happen and doesn't pass notice without being noticed, doesn't get passed unobserved. In this situation, there wasn't much happening in terms of there weren't many people around. I was kind of, in a way, almost baffled at what was going on. I was just very surprised that they were doing this. But as I said, I think that it's often useful to draw a crowd, to say, I need some witnesses over here. These officers are demanding I leave a public area. I'm not going to do that. I want people to observe what's going on. And Officer Albert was being very friendly and businesslike in his own way. But, of course, he was taking a false police report in the sense that he was taking a citizen's arrest that he knew or should have known was false. It was based on no code section. There are two code sections it could have been based on. One is the code section that they cited, which is failure to leave a business when asked to do so, and it's not a business. Or the special code section about the transit authority, which is what applies, which is you have to have, there has to be a disruption, there has to be written notice, has to be posted, and so forth. Yes.
Sir, that's part of the Metro property. Can you wait over here off the property?
Is that less public? Yeah.
Metro property goes to the
primary. Of course, what we really need are about 10 people to say, no, it's not the Metro property. I mean, it's the Metro property, but we fund the Metro, so we're just going to stand here, and we will be standing in such a way as to not obstruct the area, but we're not going to be told to leave because and behave like good little boys and girls just because someone in a uniform with a badge and a gun and a ticket book tells us to do so. And that's a hard thing to get people to do. They are busy. They don't want to bother with citations. They don't want to take the risk of being harassed. They don't want to have to write, have you been arrested? Yes, on rental applications and job applications. And so as a consequence, they surrender something important. So, Officer Albert, you tell me that these security guards have absolute discretion.
Can I have an idea?
That's amazing. That's true.
Masses Norris, Nora, Ocean Robert, Sam Edward, First of Robert, DOB is 53047.
Is that your name that your California ID is on? California ID is under Robert Norris Kahn, but I take tickets under both names, and there's no attempt to evade justice here, as you can see. I prefer Norris. That's the name I normally use. California ID is under Kahn, K-A-H-N. How's it going?
Pretty good, how are you?
Under arrest.
Is there hazel?
Brown, dark brown.
5'11", 6 feet?
That's about right. How's it going?
Good.
God, is Robert Norris getting a ticket?
I'm getting a ticket.
We're going to hear about this for you.
Forever.
I'm sure you will. Now, I'm going to say, without hopefully offending you, 180, 185?
Oh, 230.
Oh, really?
That's very sweet of you. I mean, very flattering.
I
about 5 to 4, and we have Officer Albert and Dan. Who's swearing out the complaint? Is that you, or is that the
it's the agent of the property?
What's his name? I did. He isn't telling me.
Okay. Well, it'll be on the ticket.
Good. Please put it legibly on the ticket so I can contact his superior. And yours.
Copy. Could I have an ID number or deal number?
Hey, Charles, 580-950-950-950.
Copy, thank you.
Officer is writing a ticket, and the individual filing the complaint is standing nearby.
And what you're listening to is incident on Sunday at the Metro Transit Authority in downtown Santa Cruz, where I was chatting with two homeless guys taking a report on Ranger Wallace's depredations in the Poganip after having previously successfully informed Metro authorities. First being rebuffed, but then finally accepted that the radio station they were playing over their loudspeakers to drive away young people gathering nearby, as was candidly admitted by Supervisor Ed Nelson, was religious in nature, Christian, in fact, fundamentalist, in fact, and it's not something I listen to, but more important, it's not something that anybody should be forced to listen to with on a government speaker. I'm being ticketed for trespass because I wish to continue my conversations with the people and not be bothered by the security guards, but they insisted on calling the police and having me arrested and removed.
So this is an infraction citation for refusing to remain on business property after being asked to leave.
Even though I have the right to use the bus and take the bus?
It's like any other business. If they don't want someone on their business for whatever reason, they have a right to have you off their property. If you don't like it, you can take it up with their management. But right now, you're in violation of the trespassing, so I can give you a citation for it.
So
if you can sign in the red box, you're not admitting guilt, just promising to contact the court within 30 days, and they'll tell you how to take care of the ticket.
You have a sergeant who's on duty right now?
Yes, we always have a sergeant.
Who is it?
Right now, Sergeant Swan.
I'd like to speak to him, and then I'll be happy to sign the ticket after I've spoken with him.
You don't want to sign the ticket until we talk to him?
I'm willing to speak to do it after I've spoken with the sergeant. I just want to make sure we're all on the up and up. No offense to you, Officer Albert.
Notice the assurance with which Albert gives false information about the law. Metro Authority is not a private business. It's open to the public. And this fact is made even more clear by the fact that there's a very particular law on the books with greater protections for people who are being told to leave the property for one reason or another than the law about leaving a business. I mean, when I first brought this issue back to some friends, they said, well, get proof that the Transit Authority gets funding from the public, or, you know, show that the city council members sit on the transit board, which is both of which I believe are true, although I haven't done a lot of research on this, you know, or show the contract between the Transit Authority and the city, which obviously has to have some kind of a contract with the Transit Authority because, you know, the buses aren't being funded by a private business. It's not Greyhound. It's not some private business that funds them. It's our taxpayer dollars. And all this is certainly true, but the actual lettering of the law is also, the wording of the law, I should say, is pretty clear. That you have a specific law that I'm being charged with the wrong law, for one thing, but I'm actually being charged with a law that police officers are using to drive people away from other areas. No person shall willfully remain upon any business premises, whether indoors or outdoors, after being notified by the owner, lessee, or other person in charge thereof. And there's also, however, according to someone who posted something on IndieBay, an exception to this for common carriers such as bus stations. So even that law doesn't apply, quote, where its application results in or is coupled with an act prohibited by Section 365 of the California Penal Code or any other provision of the law relating to the duties of innkeepers or common carriers. And that probably has to do with the fact that's the reason there's a separate section of the law probably that says this here is the particular law that applies to transit authorities and requires greater protection for the public. Since while you don't need to go into a knick-knack store or into Lulu Carpenters or into other businesses which can order you out at their whim, although there's even some restrictions on that. You can't order someone out if they're a member of a protected class because you don't like the color of their skin, for instance, or their gender or their sexual preference. You can't tell someone to leave a public transit area because it's not the same thing. People need to use buses, and they also have a reasonable expectation they can use buses. Anyway, I mean, I'm repeating myself, but it seems so outrageous to me that it really bears repetition. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. If you want to help support Free Radio, we can use some more subscribers, and you can find out about that by going to www.freakradio.org. You can kick down some money every month to help pay for equipment. That's what we need. We don't get any salaries here. In fact, we pay money to help keep the station going ourselves. So if you want to help out, do so. You can also call in if you have commentary at 427-3772, or if you want to leave a public service announcement for Free Radio, 427-4523. You can also mail us a check. Grab your pencil. At Free Radio Santa Cruz, Post Office Box 7507, 95061. Now back to the showdown at the Metro.
Taking up a lot of unnecessary time.
I'm not the one who's doing that. I'm just trying to stand here and talk to people, that's all. I'm getting harassed as far as I'm concerned.
10107. 10107, Pamacol is 1439.
What are you waiting for?
Is that any of your affair?
I'll gladly help you out with West. Maybe
we
can give you a free
Well, I appreciate it. If you want to offer me a ride, let me know. But you're not a bus driver, are you?
Norris would like to speak with you before he signs his citation.
And in the shortest time in history, Sergeant Swanick appears on the scene less than a minute after I've asked for him, or 2 minutes after I've asked for him to show up.
So who are you boarding for?
That's a good question.
Is that correct? Is it Finn?
What's that?
Nader Gonzalez.
Oh, it's a possibility, you know.
What the individual, Dan, the security guard, is trying to ask who I'm going to vote for, he wonders. And he's trying to be friendly as he throws me into the court system.
Six in the area.
601.
I think you should be telling this man not to sign a citation. It's a waste of time. So in essence, I think you're wasting my time. Officer Albert, and your sergeant.
If you were left, this was never going to happen, right?
You know, it's nothing personal, but it shouldn't be true that if we don't have the best relationship with each other, that's a basis for your ordering me away from a public facility. That's nonsense, man.
You're taking it way too far. I'm telling you, you move off the sign, and you will never...
You didn't mention the word sign. You mentioned the word property when you came up to me. And it's on tape if you want to hear it again. You know, we can listen to it when it comes up. The first time you mentioned the sign was when this police officer showed up.
Well, the other officer warned you, I was right next to him.
Exactly.
He asked you to move along.
Yes, move along. Now, well, moving, if I tell you to move along, you're not required to move along. You have to have a reason. I have to be engaged in some kind of criminal behavior. I mean, I'm not engaging in any criminal behavior. It seems to me that this is a form of criminal behavior and intimidation. That's what it seems to me. I mean, we have guys with guns and badges telling people not to use public spaces when there's no harm happening here.
So you're wasting our time, is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that you're wasting our time. The public's time is what I'm saying. How's it going?
Yeah, my final phone.
Hey, Sergeant. No, Officer Klein. How's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm good.
And this is a second officer. Actually, Sergeant Swanick has not shown up, so I'm mistaken in that, I believe. We're still waiting for him. I think he was were listening to the radio, and that was why I thought he'd shown up. This is Officer Klein, who stopped his car to check out what's happening. So this, we're going to end up having three police officers and one security guard because I wanted to talk to some people in a public area and insisted on my right to do so.
You didn't call for backup, did you?
No.
Oh,
no. No, I heard him call for the didn't want to talk to the sergeant.
Yeah.
Just in case. Say hi.
Oh. How are you doing, Officer Klein?
Good. For some reason we're not signing a ticket today?
Well, I'm just trying to find out clearly what my status is here. I want to be able to walk into the metro and use the bus and talk to somebody who's using the bus and purchase things here. And if an individual doesn't like my manner, because apparently Dan didn't like my manner, if that's Dan's name, but eventually he said what his name was, then...
I can assume we're in the middle of something
here.
Yeah,
I'll do that one.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to be on the radio?
You are going to be on the radio.
What time?
It's on the card. Just you have to read the small print, but you'll find it there. So how did your Halloween go, Officer Klein?
Very busy. I had this little area right in here.
How many citations did you have to issue?
I didn't issue. Well, I did issue one citation.
By the way, I'm recording. You probably not.
So. Five arrests, including a citation.
What was the nature of the arrest and citation?
Oh, there were various things, mostly intoxication.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about the general record throughout the evening? Did you get a sense of how many people were arrested, how many people cited? It was pretty quiet. We did a cop watch, and there wasn't much action. People were pretty mellow. The police were, you know, pretty mellow.
Pretty well behaved.
The ones I saw. So. Well, you know, it's nothing personal, Dan. I just think that, you know, we should be able to use this area without harassment, that's all. And this is harassment. You know, police officers, no. I mean, no offense to you, officer.
What we do is so people can come in, like tourists who don't know what's going on, and look at the sign and they're able to recognize it.
Well, you can say, you know,
you're putting yourself,
but there are no tourists coming up here right now. I mean, you know,
you're putting yourself in front of everybody else.
No, I'm putting the people that you're harassed above the paranoia of certain merchants. That's all.
And what it's hard to hear what Dan's saying. He's kind of speaking quietly, but he was claiming that I was blocking the sign from tourists seeing it, which of course was the. Sounds like an excuse he cooked up later because he didn't say that originally at all. I think I would have probably not responded to it anyway, but I might have, you know. I mean, I don't know if he'd put it in a way that sounded reasonable.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. I was wondering about.
In other words, I don't think you're being good instructions.
Well, I'm not thinking it's any personal. I would like to think.
I mean, if you came up and said, I wonder if you could move away from the sign because I think you're blocking the sign, I might say, okay, but you didn't say that. And you're, no, you didn't. I mean, I might have done it, I might not have. I might have taken offense, I don't know. But the fact is, it's not really a relevant consideration. Your job is to move along people who look undesirable to you. And as far as I'm concerned, that's a bad thing to be doing. You're harassing people, you're making them feel like less than human.
The other guy was telling you already, if he explains to you you got to move along, I expect you to know that you have to move along.
I'll go up there right now.
Me coming a second time and letting you know, it's like you should have this down by.
Well, I'm sorry that he sends you to do his dirty work. If he wants me to move along, he can come and tell me himself, and he can sign the citation, and he can go to court. You know, I mean, why shouldn't he take the responsibility? And that's, you know, I would encourage you to forget it.
So it looks like actually what's happening here is another line of defense. The person who initially initiated this was the tall African-American guard who originally refused to respond to my concern that religious sermons were being piped out and blasted onto the sidewalk through public loudspeakers on public money. And then he refused to identify himself or to give his supervisor's name when I sought to stop this practice. So in a way, it may be that poor Dan here was simply being used as a cat's paw, as a sort of a tool by somebody else. I would like to say this might all come out in court, and indeed it might if we You know, one of the values of court, if you want to really use court, is you have extensive powers of what's called discovery. If you have the time and the interest, you can subpoena records, you can subpoena people, you can require them to come into court. Of course, they can short-circuit all this by dropping the charges or trying to. But then, of course, if it's clearly harassment, if you can find an attorney, you can sue them for the damages that they've created. What I want to see is not a lot of money thrown in my direction, but a clear statement that people will not be harassed at the Metro Transit Center for doing nothing, for simply being there. If they're, you know, engaging in illegal behavior, let them be arrested or harassed for that. You know, although, frankly, a lot of the laws that are created that make things illegal are not creating real crimes, but just pretext for the police to entrap people in a net of criminal status, which allows them to harass them further. You see this really around the morning of Halloween, when police were running up and down the street giving out citations and driving people away prior to the Halloween festivities for such things as spitting on the sidewalk in the rain. That was and simply, you know, being smoking marijuana, things of that sort, which are not real crimes. You might say, oh, but they are under the state penal code. Yes, but this is Santa Cruz. We should be in a position where we're dealing with real criminal behavior, not this horseshit. And that's why it's really important for all of us to try to find a way to use our time and energy to stand up against this. I'm not going to have time to finish this entire tape. I'll be playing the rest of it on Sunday, and there's more to it. It's an interesting tape. Some of it is inaudible, and I apologize for that. But it, I think, makes some good points, and it's instructive to listen to. And I'm glad that I'm playing it, even though in a certain sense I abandon my Fifth Amendment right to remain silent, which is important to remember you have. You have the right to remain silent. And it's an interesting question as to whether making a tape recording of what's going on would require you to present it as evidence to the court. I don't know. I have to look into that, because that becomes an issue if you're a journalist taking pictures of things that you don't necessarily want to show to people. But if you yourself are trying to defend your own rights and record what's going on, are you required to show that in court? Can it be subpoenaed? Probably can. So in a way, I'm glad that this is coming out now. I'm glad that the community is hearing it, because I think it shows, unfortunately, where we've come to in Santa Cruz, where individuals, private security guards, can at their own whim and discretion order people off the property for bad attitude. I guess that's the worst that can be said for me. And I don't think I had a bad attitude. I think they had the bad attitude. They were harassing people, and I called them on it. A little bit more of this, and then it's hello to Uncle Dennis from the Cream to the Dregs. I'll be back on Sunday, and you'll be able to tune me in probably at 9:30. I may come in earlier with a flashback. And if you want to check out the Human Rights Organization, which is concerned with these kinds of problems and is working on getting the ACLU to pay some attention to the sleeping ban and other violations of civil rights of poor people. What a concept. A local ACLU, A Mike Rotkin. You can come to their meeting. It's at 2 o'clock. It's at the Taqueria Vallarta at Cathcart and Pacific. You want to reach me off air, you can reach me at 423-HUFF, 423-4833.
Just say, do your own dirty work, you know. And actually, I probably am moving along because I'm getting tired and the sun's setting. But I mean, it's a matter of principle, too. You know? I mean,
yeah.
Hey, Sergeant.
Hello, Robert. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I was conversing
good
with someone here, and you know, at the bus stop.
Okay.
Potentially waiting for a bus, and I was, you know, approached by several security guards.
Okay.
And they said, you can't be on the property. And I said, what? No, I hadn't done anything wrong.
They said, I'll be the SL's got one at gunpoint.
I heard that penis in response.
Oh, boy. I bet you have better things to do than this.
Okay.
So I'm trying to find out if you're telling the officers here the absolute discretion to remove anybody they want for any reason whatsoever.
That we're doing what?
I'm sorry. Let me put it again. Do the security guards here have absolute discretion to tell anyone to leave for any reason that they want?
Don't know.
Okay. I don't either. That's right.
Well, if he doesn't know, that's interesting, because what's happening here is that's exactly what's going on. So it seems strange that a sergeant says he doesn't know. But in fact, you know, it's really hard sometimes to maintain one's cool and one's focus in these situations, because what was happening here was, it might have been appropriate to say to the sergeant, okay, well, he had no reason to tell me to leave. I don't want to get a citation. Will you please tell him he's making a false police report? And if the sergeant had said he wouldn't do that, that would give me, again, additional documentation. But this is all pretty much beside the point, because I am 2 minutes over time, and Uncle Dennis is in the studio. Dennis, what's coming up in the next 3 hours?
Lots of music from the 60s and the 70s, Robert.
But nothing
from your youth.
What about the Magic Circle? Probably nothing from them.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Because I don't play folk rock.
No, typical.
And I don't play folk music. And it sounds like a whole lot
bigotry
of folking going on around
bigotry
here.
Bigotry on the air. I'm going to leave
no,
you
no,
in...
No, discretion.
Discretion. Well, I will leave you in the hands of...
Bigotry is if
the clutches of Uncle Dennis.
Oppressed you because of your heritage or your background.
Heritage? Are you referring to my...
Anyway... Robert's going to go out and try and get arrested all over again. He hasn't had enough abuse from the public servants of Santa Cruz City. And he's looking sad. Okay, if all the cops in Santa Cruz can just sort of gather on Laurel Avenue, Robert will be out there in a minute. I'm Uncle Dennis, and I certainly hope Robert doesn't have any problems tonight or any time in the future. He's... great programmer, as we have lots of great programmers here at Free Radio Santa Cruz, myself included, if I must say so myself. Anyway, stay tuned for From the Cream to the Dregs, a musical exploration of the 60s and the 70s, here on Freak Radio 101.1, freakradio.org.
We got a little number from our first album we're going to do for you. Barry starts her up.
I've been such a fool. And I just stand by and take it, baby. Look at what you've done. But nothing seems to change. The bad times stay the same. And I can't run. Sometimes I feel. Sometimes I feel. The weapon goes. The weapon goes. The weapon goes. Oh, I feel like I'm dying. We'll be right back.